Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. As always, I'm so grateful that you are here as we join together to strengthen these ideas of truth in our minds. So let's begin with a brief meditation. And in our meditation, let's bring our attention from without to all the from all the forms and the busyness of the world to that quiet, still space within. Just allowing your attention to settle as best you can. If it's totally not settled, that's fine. But bringing your attention within. And actually, let's specifically bring our attention to our willingness. This is our willingness to see differently. Our willingness to loose the world from all we thought it was. Our willingness to awaken. And our willingness to join with our brothers, because it's in our joining that we are all healed. In your minds, imagining that as we come to recognize the capital S self within, that we help other minds remember this truth as well. There are many brothers right now in the world who are going through challenging experiences, challenging times, including us, perhaps. I know Sue on our call, her sister and cousin recently experienced a very intense accident. And so let's just practice for a few moments praying like Helen prayed, where we imagine the light in our mind extending to other minds. This can include Sue's cousin and sister. This can include anyone you know who is going through a challenging time. We can just imagine that we are all in a circle and we are holding other people in the center of our circle who need our light. No one will be left out. Imagining the truth in us, extending to the truth in others, it awakens it in others, and it awakens the truth in us as we send this light, praying directly to other minds to awaken and be glad, to rejoice in who we truly are. And let's imagine now, in addition to holding those that we have in the circle, let's imagine that we are sharing the light with each other. So those of us here on this call, whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is that we're going through, extending light to one another's minds. There are 20 of us here right now. So imagining a circle of 20, and our light is just extending from each mind to every other mind in our circle. And it doesn't stop there. Not only does it encompass those that we've thought of in the center of our circle, but this light extends outwards, beyond our circle, to touch every living thing, for all of us to awaken and be glad, to know who it is that we really are, despite these changing appearances. God is with us right now. Jesus is closer than your next breath. And let's cast all of our cares, let's hand all of our cares over to Jesus, over to Holy Spirit, knowing that there is something rock solid within each and every one of us that we can trust And as we access and connect with this part of our mind, it heals all. When you are healed, you are not healed alone. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. I'm taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Welcome, everybody. Oh, I'm so grateful you all are here. So, welcome for those of you who just joined. We are going to pick up where we left off last week. So, if you have the purple book, the complete and annotated edition by The Circle of Atonement, it's the CE, please go to page 902, paragraph number 6. If you're reading from a different edition other than the CE with the purple cover, your paragraph breaks will be different in this section. So if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, please go to chapter 31, part 2, paragraph 5, sentence 11. It begins with a sentence, "The voice you hear in him is but your own." If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, this is chapter 31, part 2, paragraph 17, and it is, these sentences aren't numbered, so it's like just up from the bottom. It's like maybe four sentences up from the bottom of paragraph 17. It begins with the sentence, "The voice you hear in him is but your own." And then finally, in the Sparkle edition, it's page 707, and it's at the very top. It's like on the second line at the top of the page, "The voice you hear in him is but your own." Does anybody need me to repeat that? Okay. We are good. I'm just asking for guidance because we had, you know what, I'm gonna start out, instead of reading right away, I just want to make sure, Dave had asked a question, and I wanted to make sure that this question gets addressed. So I'll answer this first, and then we'll start our reading. So Dave's question was about a podcast I did with Natasha Black. I don't remember what episode number it is, but Natasha was speaking about feeling the feeling but not being it. And David just asked for some clarification around that. So what's coming to mind immediately is this experience that we can have of being a witness, of being like an observer of our own experience. So just like you might, this honestly is where mindfulness practices have been really helpful for me, because in mindfulness meditation, we are practicing being fully present to our sensory experience, to the body, and even to witnessing thoughts and emotions go by. It's you can think about it as if anxiety is like a cloud in the sky, or whatever feeling it is that we're feeling. And rather than being in that cloud, you're sitting in a lawn chair looking up at that cloud, kind of watching it go by. You still feel it, but there's a slight stepping back where you can observe it. And one of the easiest ways of doing this, and this is a super simple tool for anybody who's especially feeling any kind of challenge right now, rather than saying, I am anxious, or rather than saying, I am depressed, or rather than saying, I am fill in the blank, start to change your language and say, I am noticing anxiety. And name where you feel it in your body. Actually start to name, well, you know, my knees feel shaky, my stomach feels tight. And you can say the same thing about other feelings. So I am noticing depression, or I am noticing fear. And then try to name what you're noticing as a raw sensation in your body. This will help bring about this experience of being a observer and a witness to our experience rather than being swept away. Because this is the big problem that we always do, and that is often happening with things like anxiety or intense fear or depression. We get swept away. It's as if, you know, the tide gets high and we get swept away by the current rather than, you know, standing at the shore and kind of just observing things that come up. So I'm hoping that was helpful, Dave. Thank you for that question.
Yes, that does help. Thank you.
Oh, good. Good. Thank you. Wonderful. All right.
Corinne?
Yes.
I just want to thank you for that lovely meditation. When I got on this call, I have anxiety. You know, I've had it I shouldn't say I have anxiety. There is anxiety that, you know.
You're noticing it.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed whatever you say. Not sure.
Yeah,
I
you
know
like
I've been
me,
noticing
it
all
a lot.
My life. But anyway, I was caught up in it. I thought, you know, my body is just racked with it. And mm-hmm. I was able to find that quiet spot. That absolutely
still
spot where I didn't try to understand anything. I didn't mm-hmm. try to manipulate what's going to happen. I just mm-hmm. gave it all to the Holy Spirit. I gave it all to Jesus. Actually, I asked for a miracle. And that's what happened, and and your meditation was just so beautiful, and I thank you for it.
Oh,
and appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much for sharing, and my heart feels full knowing that you were able to step out of that, and I want to actually tie what you just said into our reading tonight, because I'm glancing at our paragraphs here, and three times, I'm sure it appears more, it says, let us wait an instant and be still, forgetting everything we thought we heard. It later says, be still and listen. It later says, be very still an instant. So are we hearing what this is saying? It's prompting us to be still. Literally, as Sue, as you just described, it's to drop everything we think we know, everything, just to release it all to Holy Spirit, to ask for that miracle and to just pause and be open, even if that lasts a split second. So what we are reading, that's enough. That is enough. Yes. Thank you, Sue. That's key. It is enough. We don't have to stay there. It's an instant is all that's needed.
You've done your part,
you know,
if you do that.
Yes, you have. And the funny thing, so just to recap what we've been reading, and I just turned the page backward just to start to recap, this whole section that we began last week begins with, let us be still an instant and forget all things we ever learned. So here it is. We're being prompted constantly throughout this section to be still an instant. Now, what we've been reading about, just to recap the first five paragraphs that we read last week, we've been reading about a particular dynamic that can play out here in the dream, and that is the taking on the roles of leader and follower. Sometimes we want to be in charge and call the shots. We want to be the leader, and then we might, at a snap, just revert into not wanting any responsibility, you know, passing that responsibility off to somebody else and being a follower. And the Course is saying that we need to walk side by side. When we are still an instant and go home, when we drop all of our beliefs, our perceptions, just for that split moment, that tiny little moment where it's as if we're joining our brother's hand in the actual present moment and walking together, because that's the way that we go home. Now, I just want to say one more thing before we read. It will say, I don't know if we're going to finish this section tonight. We'll see how it goes. But it actually says that we are afraid to walk alongside our brother. One of us has got to be ahead, one of us has got to be behind, according to the ego, because if you think about it, if you truly are walking with your brother, you are joining with your brother, you are affirming your oneness with your brother, and what happens then? The ego is undone. The ego falls away. So it's actually an ego defense to constantly be putting ourselves into a role of either leader or follower. So let's pick up with the reading. So I'm hoping everybody has their page references. Does anybody need me to read a particular edition before I dive in? I'm assuming we are good. Okay. So it begins with a sentence. Again, I'm in CE, page 902, chapter 6. The voice you hear in him is but your own. So the voice you hear in your brother is but your own. What does he ask of you? And listen well, for he is asking what will come to you, because you see an image of yourself and hear your voice requesting what you want. Before you answer, pause to think of this. The answer that I give my brother is what I am asking for. And what I learn of him is what I learn about myself. Then let us wait an instant and be still, forgetting everything we thought we heard, remembering how much we do not know. This first paragraph reminds me, where my mind immediately goes to, is that when we are triggered by a brother in some way, shape, or form, so a loved one, somebody on TV, a politician, a friend, a boss, a coworker, they do something and immediately we feel like we're being attacked or we're in judgment, we're, you know, wanting to point the fingers, what they're doing wrong. And it says, the voice you hear in him is but your own. So if you're hearing your brother's ego, that's your own ego that's doing the hearing. So what is he asking of you? If you choose to hear the ego in him, which we're always going to hear the ego, but it's a matter of turning to the Holy Spirit and choosing the Holy Spirit instead. If we're going to respond to our brother's ego, we are responding from our own ego, and that's what we're receiving. So we're then receiving essentially what is just a call for death, a call for the body, a call for sickness and suffering when we are at that level. If we think about what the Course is teaching us, when a brother says or does something that triggers us, if we can see that instead as a call for love and therefore respond through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, responding from Spirit in us, we will hear and witness Spirit in our brother. They might not be saying anything that makes a whole lot of sense or looks that way, but we're joining at a different level. And if he's asking of a call for love from us, again, if we're deeply listening, that's all there ever is. And this beautiful prayer is just a reminder that what we learn of our brother is what we learn about ourselves. So if I'm learning of the Holy Spirit through a challenging relationship, I am learning about my true self by being willing to listen to Holy Spirit. Now, this last sentence in the paragraph, again, then let us wait an instant and be still, forgetting everything we thought we heard, remembering how much we do not know. So no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what our brother is doing, what our brother is going through, can we wait an instant and be still, forgetting everything we thought we heard, remembering how much we don't know? And as Sue so beautifully described, it's just an instant is all that is needed. Let's read another paragraph. This brother neither leads nor follows us, but walks beside us on the self-same road. He is like us, as near or far away from what we want as we let him, as we will let him be. I want to read that one more time. He is like us, as near or far away from what we want as we will let him be. We make no gains he does not make with us, and we fall back if he does not advance. Take not his hand in anger, but in love. For in his progress do you count your own. And we go separately along the way, unless you keep him safely by your side. Because he is your equal in God's love, because he is your equal in God's love, will you be saved from all appearances and answer to the Christ who calls to you. There's a footnote, I just want to read this, where it says, the sentence that I just read, take not his hand in anger, but in love, for in his progress do you count your own. And we go separately along the way, unless you keep him safely by your side. The we is you and Jesus. So in which case the sentence would mean, I'm just reading the footnote, and we, Jesus and you, go separately along the way unless you keep your brother safely by your side. So isn't that, again, this is what makes the Course so unique, is that it's just this. We find Jesus through our brother. Of course, we have that deeply personal relationship with Jesus as well, but this awakening process, this awakening from the dream, happens through our brother. So we must walk together, neither lead nor follow, but walk together. And we fall back if he does not advance. That's pretty powerful. I think I want to pause and see, does anybody have any reflections or any questions or comments coming up so far?
Hi, Corinne. This is Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
Hey. This is definitely bringing up something for me that I've been struggling with lately with my ego. I think sometimes I find myself indulging in kind of what I would say, like, small detours into fear, maybe a small judgment or just like a moment of getting annoyed at something. And I think I try to convince myself that those are not as bad as a, you know, capital J judgment. But I know that they still are bad and affecting me. And I know that every judgment is equal. So I was wondering if you had any prayers or reflections on that. I think I can definitely see it's just a trick of the ego trying to get me to fall into some sort of trap. So if you could speak on that, that would be great.
I have something that immediately came to mind for you, Courtney. So you're absolutely right that even those small detours into fear, like the little judgments, the tiny scraps of meanness is what the Course calls. It says it two different ways depending on which edition. In the FIP, it refers to tiny scraps of fear. In the CE, and I think in the other earlier editions, it refers to tiny scraps of meanness. And I really like that because meanness and fear kind of, you know, are pointing to two different things, and it's all of the ego. So the thing that came up for me to share is that it's not that you're going to stop having scraps of fear. It's not that you're going to stop having scraps of meanness. It's not that you're going to stop having those little judgments. It's that you have none that you would keep. So whenever something little comes up, number one, kudos to you for noticing that. That's huge. Just the fact that you have that fine-tune awareness to be able to notice those tiny scraps of fear or those tiny scraps of meanness, you're already, you know, like light years ahead. So it's about recognizing that it's not that they're going to stop coming, it's that you have none that you would keep. So every time you notice a tiny little scrap, you say, hey, Holy Spirit, here you go. Hey, Holy Spirit, here you go. It's always the same, where we're not asked to clean up our minds first and then show up to the Holy Spirit. We're asked to show up with our hands dirty, you know, our sleeves rolled up, and handing it over to the Holy Spirit as it is, because it's the Holy Spirit's job to do that exchange, to take our perceptions, our beliefs, what it is that we are offering, and give us the miracle instead. So remember that. It's not that you're going to stop having them. It's that you have none that you would keep. I love that teaching from the Course. Does that help, Courtney?
Yes, I love the tiny scraps of meanness. Definitely got
me too. Me too.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That was a great question. Anybody else before we keep reading? Okay. Reading it is. Here we go again. It says, be still and listen. Ah, be still and listen. Think not ancient thoughts. Forget the dismal lessons that you learned. I'm going to read that one more time. Forget the dismal lessons that you learned about this Son of God who calls to you. Christ calls to all with equal tenderness, seeing no leaders and no followers, and hearing but one answer from them all. Because he hears one voice, he cannot hear a different answer from the one he gave when God appointed him his only son. I'm going to read that last sentence one more time. Because he hears one voice, he cannot hear a different answer from the one he gave when God appointed him as his only son. So the Christ in us is always hearing the truth. Be still and listen. Think not ancient thoughts. This is one of the mind-trippy teachings that I just love about the Course, is that the thoughts we think are not our real thoughts. It is as if we are mentally reviewing that which has already gone by, because this is over and we're safe at home. We just haven't accepted that yet. So anything in the fear category is an ancient thought. Only love is present. Only love is present. It's all-consuming. It's everywhere. That's all there is. Ancient thoughts are anything other than love. They're done, they're over, they're old, they're past, and they're just, we hang on to them in the mind to keep our awareness of love at bay. I love this third sentence. It says, forget the dismal lessons that you learned about this Son of God who calls to you. So again, if you can think of a particular relationship in your life that challenges you, again, it could be a relationship, even if it's like a politician, not somebody in your immediate, you know, household. I love how it says, forget the dismal lessons that you learned about this Son of God who calls to you. So whatever we think about them, whatever ideas we've laid on them, can we forget those dismal lessons? Because in doing so, what are we doing? But we're opening up to the truth in our brother. And as we just read before, we're asking then for the truth to dawn upon our own mind. What we learn of him is what we learn about ourselves. I'll pause there again. Was there somebody who had a question who may have come off of mute when I started reading, but I didn't catch you in time?
Yeah, Corinne?
Yes.
This is Carl.
Hi, Carl. How are you?
Hi, great.
Good.
Corinne,
what's your question?
You know, I have these, what you call these little scraps of fear or meanness, which I consider to be attack thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, I'm curious as to why you say you're going to stop having them, because I will say this, that they have a lot less power over me and a lot less impact than they did previously. And I was just thinking, you know, and I would think that it would be similar to you in your case, because in reading your book, you know, you opened up with that, you know, the tremendous anxiety you felt in the dormitory there, that in the middle of the night when you called your mother. And, you know, and I gather you're not subject to that kind of attack these anymore. And, you know, so these, even the little tiny scraps of fear, which I do notice, you know, because I think, I don't know, you were talking to Sue and you pointed out, you know, how, I think it was Sue, you said how great it is that you're noticing these. And, you know, and I notice them, and you know, and there is the lesson in the course that says, you know, I can change, I can elect to change all thoughts that hurt, you know.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, so these little scraps that still come up, and sometimes they're more fear-provoking than others, you know, but they, you know, they seem to be fading, you know, because I think I'm trying to remember, there's a line in the course that says these thoughts will linger a while and then they will fade away. I think I don't know exactly. It's like in the 400s somewhere.
Mm-hmm,
so
I,
if you're familiar with that line, you know, it says these are not your real thoughts and they
yep,
linger for
yep.
a while and then they will fade away. And, you know, I find that to be, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm hearing you. I get your question. So you're asking about, like, what is that teaching that we're not going to, that we're not, like, they're going to keep coming. It's that we have none that we would keep. Can I speak to that now?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so you are absolutely correct that it can definitely, we can definitely experience that those thoughts have a lot less power than previously. And yeah. They do fade as we awaken to who it is that we really are. But as long as we are perceiving ourselves in a body, we are retaining some fear in the mind. So the course, what's the line? The ego always speaks first. It says something to that effect.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that line, yeah.
It's that tiny little, you know, that tiny little voice that even if, let's say, for instance, you're correct, I'm not subject to those same levels of, like, what I used to suffer with, but I was just really stressed out yesterday over a class that I'm teaching at the college where I teach, and that's another form of fear. So it's changed its
sure.
form to something that is quote-unquote
yeah.
more acceptable, but it's still fear. It was still me trying to do it myself. So as long as we're here, the ego is going to keep trying to find a way to capture our attention. You are absolutely
right.
correct that we can get better and better at recognizing that, better at turning it over, and finding that it has much less power over us. And then we'll have those moments of being able to pause and just drop it all and step into timelessness. We get more and more glimpses and have those experiences, but it's important that we are not, if we're aiming, like if our goal, if I were to wake up every day and my goal was like, you know, if I have any judgment thoughts today, judgmental thoughts, it's going to mean, you know, that I'm not progressing. Like, you better believe that in and of itself has an expectation and a judgment already in it. So it's a teaching, you know, to just be aware that it's not, as long as we're here, we're still identified with an ego and a body. And it's, you know, it'll try to come up, and our task is always just to notice it and to hand it over and to recognize that there it is, but I'm not keeping it. So it's almost like what we started with Dave's question about being the witness. It's that, okay, I notice I'm having this fear thought, I'm not going to keep it. I notice it, I'm not going to keep it. Just like the clouds going by in the sky, I'm going to just hand it over to Holy Spirit. So does that help, Carl?
Yeah, it does, and I agree with you, but, you know, I guess I'm more of the, and I, you know, and I hope and I pray everybody is, where, you know, it's this line that says, these are not your real thoughts, you know, they linger for a while, and then they fade away,
and they will be heard no more, I think is how, you know, the line goes.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
It's pretty much, you know, I wish I could knew it right off the top of my head where it was, but, you know, that's basically how it goes.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what I said does not negate that.
Yeah, no, right. Okay. All right, thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, so how about we read the next paragraph? So here again, listen to the sentence that we're opening with. Be very still an instant. Here it is again. Be very still an instant. Come without all thoughts of what you ever learned before, and put aside all images you made. The old will fall away before the new, without your opposition or intent. There will be no attack upon the things you thought were precious and in need of care. There will be no assault upon your wish to hear a call that never has been made. Nothing will hurt you in this holy place to which you come to listen silently, to learn the truth of what you really want. No more than this will you be asked to learn. But as you hear it, you will understand you need but come away without the thoughts you did not want and that were never true. I love how that last sentence kind of ties into what we were just talking about. You'll understand you need but come away without the thoughts you did not want and that were never true. So all those surface-level thoughts of the mind, the thoughts that we think, any thoughts of fear are thoughts that we don't want and that were never true. The beautiful sentences in the beginning of this paragraph are, again, really speaking to the stillness. Let's just, like, absorb this again for just a moment and really try to, again, feel the meaning behind the words. Be very still an instant. Come without all thought of what you ever learned before and put aside all images you made. Now, the next part of this paragraph is key, because why do we hang on to thoughts that hurt? Why do we hang on to attack thoughts? Why do we hang on to fear thoughts or those scraps of meanness when they hurt? Again, we're hanging on to them to keep love at bay because we think we're going to lose something. We think we're going to be asked to sacrifice. And what is this saying? So clearly, there will be no attack upon the things you thought were precious and in need of care. There will be no assault upon your wish to hear a call that never has been made. Nothing will hurt you in this holy place to which you come to listen silently, to learn the truth of what you really want. That's 1, 2, 3 different sentences saying it in similar ways, that there'll be no attack, no assault, nothing will hurt you. You will lose nothing, nothing, nothing whatsoever. And I just think that that's so beautiful and so reassuring, because if we use that same careful attention, I feel like the Course requires mindfulness because it requires you to look with such honesty and clarity at your mind. I know I've definitely at times touched a fear that if I give up what I'm hanging on to, that I'm going to be asked to sacrifice, I'm going to lose something, or that, you know, God's mad at me for dreaming this little dream. I can sense that in my own mind. It doesn't have to be something necessarily specific. It can just be a sense if we look, you know, very carefully. And this paragraph is reassuring us, nothing will hurt you. There will be no attack, no assault. Just love and love and acceptance and love and love. I'll pause there for a moment. Anybody want to ask a question?
Hi, Fran, it's Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So I'm typically an overthinker. So this is kind of an overthinker's question. So when I was listening to that, what you were reading, I'm wondering if I can apply that to sometimes when I catch myself having those attack thoughts, and a lot of times it'll be around like political things, and I might post something on Facebook or whatever, and then I think, oh man, I'm just like putting that energy out there. So I'll put it out there, and then after it subsides, then I'll feel like, bad about it, that I'm putting that energy out there, you know what I mean? And so then here's where the overthinker comes in, and then I start to use that to beat myself up and say that I'm, a bad person, and I'm using that term very loosely, that I'm like judging myself in that way because I'm like counting those things against myself that I get annoyed and angry about the things that are happening in the world, and that it's things that are unjust in my judgment. And so then I judge myself for it, and I'm like holding on to it for days and days, and then when another one happens, I tend to hold on to that one too, and I'm like, feel like I'm gathering all these in a basket and going, this is the proof that I'm not evolving, I'm not as spiritual as I think, and like I have no right to be being one of the teachers of God because I'm terrible. Like, I really come down hard on myself, when I heard your reading, I felt like, does that mean I can let go of that? Maybe I'm just hoping that's what it means. I don't know.
Yes. Yes. Remember the page 90 prayer in FIP, Paula, that you have the page number. I still don't have it memorized. I really need to put it right in front of me in the CE.
It's 224.
224.
Page 224.
Page 224 in the CE. It's that prayer. The Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I always go back to that when I'm like beating myself up over something, because it's like, oh, the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences. I've done nothing. It's all good. It's fine. So yes, 100%, all of that is to be let go of, because what is that but just a perfect little, and you're seeing it, like just a perfect little ego setup to keep you in ego, That's all it is, and you're seeing it perfectly, and yes, you can let that go. There's nothing.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll even say to my roommate, because like she'll be sitting at her desk across the room, and I'll be at my desk, and I'm like, oh gosh, here I go again, judging other people just to avoid looking at myself. And I actually say it out loud to her, and she laughs at me, but then I can't seem to let it go. Why is that so hard to let go of?
Because, so this is where, like, we have to go through our lessons. We can't, there's that course quote, the happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. You are learning. This is beautiful. Like, you're letting yourself go through your lessons. You can't let it go because it's something you need to go through. You know, you need to kind of go through that process. Mm-hmm. So that's in a sense, not bypassing. Like, you're not forcing yourself to go against the grain and like resist something that you really, really want to do. There will come a point, though, and I'm relating this to what I've shared with you all so many times about, like, a very difficult relationship that I have in my family, I went into that attack-defense cycle. I mean, it's been lifetimes, so I've done it many times just in this lifetime, until one day I was like, I am tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. We will all come to that point with every pattern where we're like, you know what, I really don't want to do this anymore. There's got to be another way. And then that's when things start to change. So when we're in that, like, that time of things, then, you know, it might be if we slow down and we still have that urge, let's say, to post. And Cheryl, I can relate to what you're saying, and I'm sure most people on the call can relate to that as well. There might be then the time when that urge to just post it and we can't let it go, it's coming up. But now we're like, oh, wait a second. I want to talk to Jesus about this first. It's really loud. I feel like I can't even hear Jesus. So I'm going to go get my journal and I'm going to, like, dump all my feelings there first. And then, you know, maybe sleep on it and consider posting tomorrow. So, like, then we start to experiment maybe with maybe not going, you know, with that same overwhelming, you know, feeling about taking, you know, like doing a post or whatever. But we have to at some point be willing and kind of get tired of the pattern. I was not tired of the pattern. Even though I said I was tired of the pattern for a long time, I was not tired of the pattern. I was very, you know, adamant of wanting to defend myself and stay in that attack-defense cycle. So this is a very, very great example, Cheryl. I think we can all relate to it.
Thank you so much. I've been asking the Holy Spirit for help with this for some time now. So I think I'm just getting to that point where I'm ready to see something different. So thank you.
Yeah,
for spending
that's
time
beautiful.
On that. Thank
you know, and I'll actually just speak to a personal example just relating to that, because I have actually I hate that I have two Facebook accounts, because I don't like Facebook at all. And I started to a long time ago. One literally just has, like, friends from high school, and the other one is, like, everybody else. And I've thought 1,000 times about deleting the one with everybody from high school and just being like, hey, I'm over on this other one. Anyway, many people that I went to high school with have very different political views than I do, and I hate politics. They just have different views than I do. Let's just be clear. It's just different views. And so I would feel myself getting angry and getting triggered at my podcast about, what was it called? It was the one where I slid down the slippery slope of the ego because I judged people, and I realized that everything was going wrong in my day. The squirrels knocked the peaches off the tree. I dropped my smoothie. All these things went wrong, and I realized it was because I had lapsed into judgment. It was about these friends and these ridiculous, in my judgment, things that they were posting on Facebook. So I get it, Cheryl, completely. And what's fascinating to me now, with the work that I've been feeling internally surrounding healing racism, which there's more to come, I can fill you all in on that some other time, but it's fascinating to me now to see how the anger has fallen away about other people's posts that are different than how I feel. Because I just saw a post yesterday, again, a high school person who feels that America is not a racist nation at all. We love everybody. There's just good and evil. And, you know, everybody, all the white people underneath were like, yeah, 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 that's it. It's just so convenient, you know, to then not look any more deeply. So that would have infuriated me in the past. Now I'm like, oh, the call for love, like the, and I also feel so rooted that we are evolving, that things are changing, that the mind, we are, the dream is changing, because our mind is willing, you know, to awaken. It's willing, more and more is willing to remember that it just doesn't anger me anymore, and that's something different. So I just throw that out there as an alternative, that, yeah, that it's possible, and just my confidence that that healing is actually really, really happening. Okay, you know what? We only have three paragraphs left. I'm going to go for it. Let's finish up this section for tonight, and we'll start a new section next week. So I'm going to, okay, yeah, perfect. It's a new section in the other editions as well. So we will be hopefully back to having the same paragraph breaks. Here we go. Forgive your brother all appearances, which are but ancient lessons that you taught yourself about the sinfulness in you. Hear but his call for mercy and release from all the fearful images he holds of what he is and of what you must be. He is afraid to walk with you and thinks, perhaps, a bit behind, a bit ahead would be a safer place for him to be. Can you make progress if you think the same, advancing only as he would step back and falling back as he would go ahead? For so do you forget the journey's goal, which is but to decide to walk with him, so neither leads nor follows. Thus it is a way you go together, not alone. And in this choice is learning's outcome changed, for Christ has been reborn to both of you. I just have to pause here for a moment and just highlight again. We're being prompted to forgive our brother all appearances, because those appearances are our lessons that we taught ourselves about our own sinfulness. So if I'm seeing something to condemn in my brother, it's a reflection of what I believe is in me. This middle of the paragraph, he's afraid to walk with you. It makes so much sense here where it says, can you make progress if you think the same, advancing only as he would step back and falling back as he would go ahead? So here we have to decide we want to walk with our brother. So even when our brother is posting, and Cheryl, I'm just going with your example because I relate to it so much. If our brothers are posting insane things that we don't agree with on whatever side it is, remember, everything is like two sides of the same ego coin. If it's Democrat, Republican, whatever the issue is, we have to decide to walk with our brother in all aspects. So neither leads nor follows, but we are instead joining in this present moment without words, without perhaps even any action. It's that place deep within, that knowing that Christ self within us that is willing to join with the Christ self in the other, and that heals all. Next paragraph. An instant spent without your old ideas of who your great companion is and what he should be asking for will be enough to let this happen. I have to read that again. An instant, so highlight, I'm underlining that. An instant, literally one single instant spent without your old ideas of who your great companion is and what he should be asking for will be enough to let this happen. And you will perceive his purpose is the same as yours. He asks for what you want and needs the same as you. It takes perhaps a different form in him, but it is not a form you answer to. He asks and you receive, for you have come with but one purpose, that you both may learn you love each other with a brother's love. And as a brother, must his father be the same as yours, as he is like yourself. Together is your joint inheritance remembered and accepted by both, by you both. Alone, it is denied to both of you. So together with our brother, our joint inheritance is remembered and accepted by both of us. I'm going to keep reading. Is it not clear that while you, is it not clear that while you still insist on leading or on following, you think you walk alone with no one by your side? This is the road to nowhere, for the light cannot be given while you walk alone, and so you cannot see which way you go. And so there is confusion and a sense of endless doubting as you stagger back and forward in the darkness and alone. Yet are these but appearances of what the journey is and how it must be made. For next to you is one who holds the light before you, so that every step is made in certainty and sureness of the road. A blindfold can indeed obscure your sight, but cannot make the way itself grow dark. And he who travels with you has the light. So this is talking about your brother. Your brother who travels with you has the light. All of our brothers that we come into contact with, no matter the things that they say or do that don't sit well with us or that don't resonate with us, that brother still holds the light. It doesn't mean in form that we answer to the form. It said something about that in the second to last paragraph. We're not answering to a form. We're answering to the Christ in our brother. That's what we're showing up to answer. If we're prompted to do something in form, that will be told when we're tuning in and asking for guidance. But it's joining with our brother on this mind level. And it can be actually, I think, a beautiful practice since I'm taking this example of social media and just running with it. When we see things that trigger us, that trigger, we have one of two options. We can go into judgment, which is the easiest, it seems like it's the easiest way, or we can start to see those. Each time we see something that would trigger us, we can say, what is the Course prayer? This is my brother and whom I love. I can't remember the prayer. We can say anything to just affirm that the Christ is here in my brother. We can go back to that prayer. The answer that I give my brother is what I am asking for, and what I learn of him is what I learn about myself. We can say anything. Instead of going down judgment, we can use those as opportunities to join in truth instead of in fear. That's a divine repurposing of Facebook. gotta love it. All right, we did it. We got through this section. So, yay. Are there any final comments or questions?
Corinne?
Just, you can always unfollow those posts, too.
Yes, you can always unfollow this. That's true. did I hear Sue also?
Yes, do you think words need to be said, or do you think an awareness is enough? Like,
I think that question has to be asked of Jesus, because with certain things, we might be called to have that awareness. And with those same certain things on another day, we might be called to say something. So I think that answer always has to come from your direct guidance.
Okay.
It's been interesting to me. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because I used to be This I touched upon in my open letter. There used to be times when I didn't feel comfortable doing something, and so I would use the excuse of, oh, I just don't feel guided. So we have to, again, use that very careful mindfulness, that very careful awareness to discern what is my guidance. Is it just, am I actually in fear and I don't want to say something, or am I being guided? So
I was thinking, when you see something that triggers you on TV, or when you're by yourself, do you think it's enough to see the Christ in them, or do you think you need to say something, like I see my brother, that sort of thing? a mental.
I think again, it's gonna be what feels
it's
right
be
for you
different.
In that moment. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Gotcha.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Wonderful. Well, thank you, anybody. Any final question or comment from anyone? I feel like I'm not sure if there was another voice, or if maybe people were just getting ready to say goodbye.
Nope. Just saying thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, hi, Carla. Oh, wonderful. Okay, beautiful. Thank you, everybody. I love you all, and we will begin the next section in a week. I will see you then. Have a good
thank
one, everybody.
Thank you.
Love
much.
You all.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Good
bye
night.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye. You too.